From time to time, as a fellowship, we've had a sermon with the title of the sermon this morning. Where are we now? Where are we now? That we've had reason, I think this is about the sixth of these, and I think this series started approaching 3 years ago. So every so often we stop and ask ourselves that question, where are we now? We ask it of ourselves as a local church. We ask it of us all, really. Where are you now? Don't know if all of you are here, that's the fact. Where are you now? On pilgrimage? Yet to start pilgrimage? Are you finding, as the hymn said there, perplexing paths of life? Where are you now? Are you finding God sufficient for where you are now? I have to say for ourselves here as a fellowship, yes, amen, we are. Though still we have much ground to take. Much work still lies ahead. We're on pilgrimage. Strangers and pilgrims, as we have it here, and it's particularly Hebrews 11, verses 13 to 16, the territory that we are in this morning. But really, in a sense, the entirety of Hebrews 11 could just as well furnish what we need, really, for the thoughts that that I'm bringing today. Here we are, strangers and pilgrims on the earth, it says in verse 13. Well, we could have said that of ourselves at any time. In the last how many years of the church's existence, all our forebears could have said that. Where are we now? Well, we're strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's what we are. That's a quick, simple, and very biblical answer to the question that I've got before us here. Well, what are our surroundings at the moment? Because pilgrimage, and we only have to think of John Bunyan here, don't we? There's lots of happenings, lots of changes, to use the word we were using a bit earlier. Here we are, seeking still, ultimately, we'll finish with this the more, that heavenly country, a better country, better than this country, better than this present environment that surrounds us on our pilgrimage. We're looking for that country, still are looking for it. We're looking for it when last I preached a sermon with this title. We're looking for it 20 years ago. When the church was founded 150 or so years ago, still looking for that heavenly country, the friends who have gone to that heavenly country, even recently, and certainly in the last year, we've seen a number of our company make that journey, cross that river, treading that verge of Jordan, and then being received at last into heaven itself, that city prepared for them. That God is not ashamed to be called their God. They can rely upon him. He's promised them glory, promised heaven, a heavenly home. He will fulfill it. And that is what some of our friends are experiencing now. So we have seen much change. Well, we could use the word upheaval. I guess that fits some of it some of the time. Friends, as we mentioned there, that have gone on to glory. Other people that have moved on from our number here, even quite recently. I mentioned the scaffolding. My, that scaffolding. Well, we had quite a major building work here. Still do, actually. Still a lot to do. Don't look too carefully at the windows or the plaster work. Don't go upstairs and poke the glass in the upstairs hall too firmly. And you need to wrap up warm in the winter because it's freezing cold. So there's a lot of work still needed. But a very large bit of work that really, really did occupy our thoughts and our prayers much, need a lot of planning, a lot of preparation for, is now accomplished, was actually accomplished Monday of last week. And that's the roof redone and the pointing work, all the pointing work. Well, not the score room at the back, that's true, but everything else, up, down, the sides, all fresh mortar, where there was little mortar, in truth, left standing from the original. And it's happened. And we're able to look back on it now. Whereas time's gone by, we've had Where Are We Now? And that was ahead of us. And it was quite an operation, required quite a lot of decision-making, difficult decision-making, a lot of change, yes, a lot of upheaval. But here we are now, and able to reflect on the goodness of God. And in this time over which I have been following this series, Where Are We Now? We've had new friends join us, as well as mentioned, other friends who, for different reasons, are either now indeed in glory, gone home to their better country, or worshipping now elsewhere. One of the things that we've looked at and pondered and lamented is that so much of what we've had to look at of the where are we now is that we've just not seen growth. There's the fact we just have not seen growth, by which I would mean conversions. We have a baptistry here, but we've not used it over much in the time that I've been here, and that's now 20 years and counting. And we're sad, grieved at that. The community that we're in hasn't listened, hasn't really turned, hasn't shown the interest that we really desire that it would. Or indeed, in the towns, we've done open airs nearby, preaching the gospel, outreach, internet, sermons that go out, and sometimes I think the ends of the earth are listening, but near to us here, nearby, that is not so evident, and that is not so clear. And so we have found, as we have looked at where are we now, that we simply have not seen gospel success. We've not seen the things that we long for happen, and that has had implications. Quite big implications, and those implications actually get bigger for us as time goes on. That is, a smaller number of people still trying to do the same number of things that as a people we long to be able to do in terms of outreach, our children's work. God willing, we're starting our Seekers Club again in September. But it's a stretch. It was a stretch before, but it's more of a stretch now that we've not got any younger. And we've lost some of our helpers along the way. We haven't seen the gospel success, haven't seen the new people joining with us, haven't seen them growing, taking part then themselves in the life of the local church, taking on the roles and the various things that the church needs in order to function. Just hasn't happened. Of course, from that, well, talks money doesn't won. When you've got a building work of the scale that we had, well, it was beyond what we had in our resources at that time. And there hadn't been an accumulation of resources, because there's the thing, isn't it? New people, they bring finance, and there's the fact. And that hadn't happened over the 20 years that certainly I had been here. So where are we now? Well, we've had a pandemic. I'm using the past tense, probably shouldn't, but perhaps, yeah, we still have a pandemic. And we reflect anniversaries. Where are we now? Well, a year ago, we were so pleased to be opening the doors again of this building and resuming worship. That was a very significant day, very happy day in that way. And that was clouded by the fact that on that day, one of our friends there, dear Jenny, went to be with the Lord. We were still here, worshiping God and able to have the doors once more open. So my first heading, really that by way of introduction, where are we now? Well, my first heading is this, and I basically said this already, still open, still here by the grace of God. It's building, and just yesterday there, I mean, I hear from people, wow, you're building. Look at it, it's lovely, somebody said to me yesterday. Well, there's the facts, and I said we've had excellent workmen, we've really been blessed in that, and sure, there it is. But moreover, it is a token of hope for the future, that this building, yes, will still be open because there is a people still worshipping here. And it's no small thing to be able to say, yes, by the grace of God, we are still here, that this church is still open. And by the grace of God, we trust will still be open in years to come. Because it's been a great act of faith, an act of faith that looks beyond us, looks beyond us, the people that are gathered here now. It's looking to future generations. I mean, it was 150 years before the roof finally served notice on us that it needed some help and a bit of tender, loving care. The pointing work really, really did need attention now. God willing, that work undertaken, that'll be, what, say another 150 years perhaps before it needs doing again. Another generation, well, more than one generation, quite a few generations' time. And so we're looking in the hope and the earnest expectation that what has been done by the building, that the building is still here, still standing, still open, will be God's good pleasure to have a people still worshipping here, still open, a church that is still living, a living entity. But it's still an act of faith because we need to see something happen. We need God to work. Otherwise, mission won't be accomplished. And when we've left this, our earthly pilgrimage, when we have gone on, and Enoch, gone to be in the Lord's presence, then what will there be here? What will be left? Well, our prayer and earnest hope is that we'll be somewhere still where Matthew chapter 5 instructs us that verses 14 and 6 to 16, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's what we still want to be. And we want people still to be here, whenever the roof needs doing again, if the Lord hasn't returned before then, but still being salt and light. Still open, city on a hill that cannot be hidden. For what is the local church? Well, the descriptions of it are wonderful and rich. 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And Paul is speaking here as though to the church, the local church, and looking at those who are building upon what he laid by way of foundation and saying, beware, beware what you lay upon what already is here. Make sure that it's silver and gold and precious stones, not wood, straw, stubble, that kind of thing. For it says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So to be still here, still open, is to actually be something quite significant in the eyes of God. The temple of God. His dwelling place, whether two or three are gathered together, that there he is in their midst. And he warns any that try to come against that cause, come against his church, a local church, any church, that they would have to answer to him for that. And what a privilege it is to be able, after the removal of lockdown, when we could again be met here in one place. Because whatever Zoom may or may not do, whatever internet ministry and the benefits of it, and we can see that they are considerable, but the local church is still meant to be met in one place. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23, to that effect. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place, and he says, and all speak with tongues, and they come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you're out of your mind? That's in the context of what he was saying there to the still continuing gift of tongue speaking. But the whole church comes together in one place. One place, and this building represents the home for that one place, where that being in one place can happen. By the grace of God, still here. It's a horrible word that's used, and people use it of businesses, sadly they use it of churches too, but I guess it has its place. Still viable, just. Still viable, still a going concern. That's when you look at it, who's there, and look at what you can do, and whether you can still function, whether you've got the various key components that will still work. Well, yeah, to use that word, still viable, still preaching, still we're observing the sacraments, the Lord's table we come to. Yes, still evangelizing. We've had some open airs. We have our crafts going out to the infant school in a week or so's time, still ongoing. Because we know that other places have closed. They're not still open. Other causes, and some of them local to us and dear to us, no longer here. And we can't take for granted where we are now, thankful we're still open, but that we will still be open in 10 years, 20 years' time. We're looking to the Lord to bless us in that. Now my second heading. Weary pilgrimage, weary pilgrimage. And our visitors here, please forgive me. Perhaps we're just speaking a little bit about where we feel ourselves and perhaps a little bit out of breath in some ways. This weary pilgrimage, that was there, wasn't it, in our hymn we sung a moment ago, God of Bethel, by whose hand throughout this weary pilgrimage all our fathers kept and sustained. But it has. It's been, and I think any Christian, and as we read Hebrews 11, them and all that they had to endure, pilgrimage takes its toll, doesn't it? Takes its toll. Takes its toll on health, takes its toll on the mind, particularly when we live in an unbelieving generation, not seeing gospel success, the challenge of that. And when we as a fellowship have had to experience considerable changes, upheavals, challenges, which at times have been painful ones, difficult ones, and not everybody's been happy, there's the fact. Oh, and then we came to the pandemic and the tensions of that and all the masks and hand sanitizers and everything else. And well, I guess we are beginning to promise ourselves that may soon be past tense, but we've learned, haven't we, from the experience not to get too hopeful too quickly. But here we are, and the pilgrimage continues somewhat wearily. We've got older. Some friend was saying that they just visited people in another church and been 2 years since they saw them, and oh, how much you've aged in that time. I'm sure they voiced that, but that was the impression that they had. Those years, people have got older. They're not so energetic. They can't be now the life and energy of the church that perhaps once they were. They're now in a more sedentary position, just having to concede to their age and no longer be quite the same busy people that once they were. That's where we are. Same number of lifts to give, same rotas to try to cover, and we find ourselves fragile and weary. These last years, pandemic, what I quoted before from here, from Evangelical Times, how church officers have felt tired. All the regulations and changes, pressures, stresses within the churches, etc. and etc. can be weary, can be tiring. So let's think, how do we sustain ourselves in that? As Doddridge's hymn that we sang there, how do we sustain ourselves in that? And just a few very straightforward and very obvious thoughts. Prayer. We sustain ourselves through prayer. We must be, all the more I speak to ourselves here at Christ Baptist Church, but all who have ears to hear, we must be a praying people. I was convinced that we are, but that's what we must be, a praying people. We are still open by the grace of God. It's been hard work, and we're tired. I'm tired. Others of us are tired, got older with this toil, and we need to be sustained. It's God. It's going to have to be him. And it's going to be in answer to the prayers of his people. Prayers such as we find Hebrews chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. Here is a prayer indeed. Paul says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, and depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's a prayer. I hope you pray that for me. I should be praying it for you, that we might have all of that strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. I think we'd amen that. Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith. We'd amen that. Being rooted and grounded in love. Yes. And that we may know that love of Christ so beyond any kind of dimension, any limitation you may wrongly think to impose upon it. It will extend beyond it. It has width. It has length and depth and height. It surpasses knowledge. Praying for that, needing that, oh, to know more of the love of Christ. For out of that experience comes the things that we might find, for instance, towards the end of Ephesians. I'm just taking chapter 6, verses 18 to 20, what Paul here asks may be given to him. Praying, he says, always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That's where his pilgrimage had reached, wasn't it? The Apostle Paul, he's in prison, he's in chains. But he knows he's still an ambassador, that he can speak to those around him. And he prays that God may give him that boldness to open his mouth. And really what he has already prayed for the church, in which he had an abundance, that strengthening of the inner man, that knowledge of the love of Christ, that's such a good basis upon which we can open our mouth and have something to say. To know what the Lord is to us now, to be fully assured of his love to us now, why, that is precious, and precious indeed, and furnishes us with so much to say. Why, we can think too of the reproach that we feel, the nation, community doesn't listen, and our burden in that, that's a weary pilgrimage. Dwelling among people of unclean lips, that is hard work. And so we pray God will help us in that, that we may feel the urgency of the hour that we're in. Critical time, isn't it? So much has happened. Pandemic, yes. People have all been shut at home, yes. But there's been so much happening out there in the world. Seismic changes, global resets and all the rest of it there. A lot going on. And we need to be very urgent praying that God would not only bless our nation, but all nations, sustain us that we're still here to be able to witness to perhaps an increasingly needy situation. Moreover, another simple thought here to sustain us in our weary pilgrimage, to refresh our souls, sanctification. Sanctification, being made holy. Holiness, holiness of thought, holiness of speech. Christ-likeness in everything. How we need it. We've coined an expression, I don't know whether it caught on much, but inasmuch as here we are under great challenge as a fellowship, as we've been over the last 2.5 years and more, that we need to be at our best. We really need to be at our best. We need to attract the attention of heaven for the right reasons, not for the wrong reasons. And we need to be at our best with each other, supporting each other, bearing one another's burdens. And sanctification is the key to all that. That we're not standing still. That we are still in the process of changing. Pilgrims going through this world, not settlers indeed, have a building which we hope is pretty settled, but the people within it on a journey and changing. We're changing from the inside out. We're changing. Because the challenge, the pressure of God's word upon us to be ever, constantly, grow more Christ-like, grow more like him, follow him more thoroughly, more appropriately, be the person that he would have you to be, is forever before us. Oh, Ephesians again supplies some help in that chapter 4. And just to read from verse 25 to the end of that chapter. Here are the few thoughts, aren't they? Here, there are plenty of others that Scripture has for us. This kind of people, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbour, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labour, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, for what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamour, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Sanctification. Some of the basics of it. Back to the commandments, what those require of it. And yet, well, still challenges presented within that to each and every one of us. And done under that great overarching theme that God in Christ forgave us. So we find help and forgiveness. We find him willing to take us where we are with whatever core sins that we're still dealing with and to bring us out of those. There's nothing more wearying than sin, nothing more damaging to our pilgrimage than that. Sanctification and fellowship. Fellowship within the church and between churches. That is so, so precious because we're not on our own. And there are other places that are in similar situations. Why? No, even further in grief, further under challenge. And we look to encourage them and others encourage us. I had a lovely email, actually, which I saw from a friend in the ministry. And that was good. That was good. Saw him the other day and just reflecting on our meeting. It was so good to see him. And we were mutually encouraged. Fellowship. And that is valuable. And we extend it, don't we, at our best to each other here. We're at our best with each other. That we're bringing good things, right things of Ephesians 4, 25, 32, not the wrong things, and that is making a difference. That's that good answer that takes the burden from the heart. That's a word in season that comes to those who are weary, strengthens them, encourages them forward, that is to them like the manna supplied in the wilderness, something to refresh and sustain the soul. How often it is that fellowship is spoken of in the scriptures in that way. So in those two short epistles of John towards the end of scripture, John writes there in 2 John verses 12 and 13, having many things to write to you, I do not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. Or in 3 John, something very similar, verses 13 and 14. I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. That's the sort of fellowship, isn't it, there? And face to face, yes, there is a difference. There is something unique. It's always meant to be unique that can't quite be accomplished by Zoom. And can't quite happen just at sort of distance removed in social media. You need to be in the same room with that person. They need to know, feel that warmth. Why even give them a hug when we can do things like that with good conscience? Yes, fellowship, sustaining and strengthening each other, coming to each other, not being self-centered, just being about ourselves, not being careless and foolish in that way, what we say, what we think, being judgmental, and having that in our attitude, no idols that we're cherishing, that are getting in the way of fellowship, but trusting each other, being confident in each other, that strengthens in the weary pilgrimage. Final heading now. Keep the end in view. Keep the end in view. All of this, scaffolding, didn't quite become world expert in it, but, you know, I was getting on with that quite nicely. Mortar, I can tell you about that too. Do ask me at the end about the different kinds of tiles that we got on the roof. I can wax lyrical about those. But here's the fact. This is just a means to something greater. Pilgrims on their way home. This is a staging point, and we trust by God's grace will continue to be to refresh weary pilgrims, to strengthen them in the word of God. We could have mentioned that, couldn't we? But through the prayers, through the fellowship, through our sanctification, being at our best before God and before each other. Because we've got a great end in view. However interesting the challenges will be to fill the rotas for the future, come September or whenever, we've got an end in view. And that is this better country. That is this heavenly country. It's got a destination. I pity people in the world, don't you? Where are they going? What are they aiming for? What is the end product there? Is it that, well, here we are. England will win the Euros, perhaps. Will that be it? That's it. Or Freedom Day comes and people can go to nightclubs. Is that it? That's what they're just pitching for, pining for that day. Oh, we would say that's too little. That really could not suffice. And some of it's downright sinful. How could it? But even those things which in moderation we might say have a place, but they're not sufficient. But heaven is. And heaven is our home. Earth is our lodge, but heaven is our home. Here's a staging post, a place for the moment. But we will pass away one day, each and every one of us. Are you ready for that? Have you got that day in view? Where are we now? Where are you now? We're actually approaching that day. I hope that day meets you now, as it were, and that you're not left thinking, what do I do on that day? I hope you believe in that day, yes. But what will you do? Where can you go? Are you in God's presence? You never trusted him in this life. Oh, folly, folly. Too late then, but not too late now. Believe in him. Trust in this God with all your heart. Repent as best you know how of all that you are that you know is wrong within your soul. And what you don't know is wrong, because you haven't yet found out how wicked your soul is, your heart is. Well, bring it all in, that you will say that this I sorrow over what I am. And even the bits of me that I don't even know yet, I sorrow over what I am. And trust him. The cross is there for people who would look to God for forgiveness. And it reassures them absolutely there is forgiveness in the blood of Christ. That's the Son of God. That ends all doubt and speculation. Rest your hope fully upon him. Then that day, that home that Christians look forward to, you will look forward to it too. You won't be thinking, I'm fearful, death, I'm fearful of it. No, dear friends, you'll be able to face that day with greater clarity, with hope indeed, with faith, looking forward actually to the one that you will meet there, our Lord Jesus Christ. Because you knew him in this life and you loved him here. How much the more you will love him when you haven't got your sin to get in the way of appreciating him. How much more you'll love him when all of the fallenness of this world that still is the context of our living has gone. And it's pure and it's holy and it's heaven, his home. Oh, keep that end in view. We're looking for it. We're sustained by it. A weary pilgrimage, yes, at times. There we are. Sorry to burden you, dear visitors, here with a little bit of our own sort of housekeeping. Where are we now? But we're sustained, aren't we, by that thought of glory and of heaven. Who would go backwards, the writer says here, doesn't he? Truly, if they'd called to mind that country they'd come out of, they would have an opportunity to return. I guess opportunity is there, isn't it? So we can go backwards, go back to the world, renounce it all. But the writer says they weren't going to do that. They had seen so much. They had seen the far off the promise of glory of heaven beyond anything Canaan could do, and were assured of it and embraced it and confessed that here's not home. We're going there. That's where it begins the whole chapter, isn't it? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. World beyond, life beyond the grave, heaven, our home, where our Lord Jesus Christ awaits us. So we continue, and we continue to be sustained by grace, not our works, no, not all our labors, all our diligence will accomplish anything. It needs God's power. It needs his grace. Where are we now? Yes, going on, still on pilgrimage. A little weary, yes, but we know where we're going, and we know it's worthwhile, and we know that this is the true life. And all who want to join with us in prayer, do carry our needs home with you, if you will. And remember us here in this corner of Derbyshire, where we are now, but looking to where we will be one day, glory of heaven.